Welcome to Golden Point Sports, your number one sports car podcast. Now for your host, two guys who are killing the dad bod book, living out their faith, and talking sports, Robert Foster and Brad Winter.
On today's episode, Brad and I are going to do the 2021 NFL mock draft presented to you by yours truly. Brad and I for the Golden Point Sports. Brad, the draft is it's something we've talked about the last 2 weeks, but the draft is one of the most fun times, in my opinion. I love the NFL draft. I'm excited for it to take place this weekend. I'm going to try to watch as much as I can of at least the first, second, and third round. I don't know if I'll be watching a whole lot of the 4 through 7 rounds, Brad. I'm not the I can't say I'm the biggest of fans of watching those. Now, there's a lot of gems that have been found in those rounds, but I don't know. I don't know if I can sit through there and watch all four of those rounds. It's a lot. Anyways, Brad, first and foremost, I mean, like, are you excited for the draft? Kind of your thoughts on the draft, and then also how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing pretty good, man. I think the draft's going to be good this year. You know, we have a chance to see probably the most quarterbacks taken in the first round since the 2004 draft. Which, if many people remember, was a really, really excellent draft. Ben Roethlisberger, Brian Leftwich, which, again, no one's ever really heard of. But then you had, Eli Manning, Philip Rivers. So overall, yeah, good draft. And so I think this is going to be another draft where we could see a lot of good products come out. This once in a while draft where it's heavy quarterback loaded, and there's not a whole lot of separation in who's necessarily the best, and a lot of teams are latching on to what could be their next franchise quarterback.
For sure. And it should be a very interesting draft. I mean, it's going to make for a lot of good talk the last couple of weeks by all the talk show pundits as well as ourselves. But we'll get to that when we get to that. All right, first and foremost, we have two topics, Brad, to cover before we get to the mock draft, which, I mean, I love doing mock drafts, Brad. They're so much fun. Even if it's regular, NFL, if it's fantasy football, just whatever it is, I just love drafts nonetheless. But anyways, NASCAR picks, Brad. Brad Keselowski won this week, and so neither of us got any points. I'm still leading it 8-7. This week, the racers are in Kansas City, Kansas. Brad, I'm going to take Denny Hamlin to win this one. He's just been too close every week, and he's won this the last two out of 3 years. I think I can get behind Denny Hamlin this week for sure. Brad, who do you got?
Yeah, I actually I'm going to go out on a limb here, and the odds aren't out, so I can't make a really big educated guess. I guess I could look at the history of the race, but I picked Denny Hamlin last week, so that wouldn't have worked. I'm going to actually go with Christopher Bell. I don't know much about the guy, and you named him 1 week, and I've used all the bigger names. I could go with a guy named Chase Elliott, but I don't want to use all the bigger names at the beginning of the season, so I'll go with Christopher Bell here.
Understandable. Yeah, Christopher Bell may not be a bad choice. He didn't do too bad, I believe. I don't think he done too bad at Talladega, but either way. Not a bad choice there. So I'll take Denny Hamlin. Brad has Christopher Bell. Again, not a bad choice. Hopefully they can get one of us some points here and we can get off the 8-7 stalemate that we've been on the last couple of weeks. But either way. All right, Brad. The next topic is the College Football Playoff Committee is considering expanding the college football playoff to as many teams as 16, Brad. I think it needs to be expanded, but I don't know. I've always said no more than 6 to 8 teams, Brad. I really think that 16 does nothing but make money, which obviously it makes sense, but it'd make even more sense if maybe the players were paid a little something too, but still. What are your thoughts on the consideration of maybe 16 games, right? I know we've talked about expanding the playoff, but I don't know if we've really dove into the idea of 16 teams. That, to me, that seems like a lot. And, I mean, how do you think that should work, too? Should the first four teams, should they all have a bye? Or what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so I think if you listen to our previous episodes, any chance, you can probably hear me talking about how I think they should expand the college football playoff to 16 teams. I've mentioned that before, and it probably was during our college football preview deals. And but I'm not 100% sure. But if you go back and listen to previous episodes, you'll hear it there. I think 16 is good. I think the four buys at the beginning would be good. And this is why I think you're saying, well, if you reward 16, it could be like March Madness, and we could see somebody go on a run that's a lower seed. Well, that's true. But I think there should be some kind of reward if they finish top four. And so that way you're not just watering down the top four spots in the college football rankings. And so if you're telling Alabama, hey, you went 12-0 in the SEC, and you tell Ohio State, hey, you went 12-0 in the Big Ten, and throw in two other – Clemson, 12-0 in the ACC, and then you throw in, I don't know, say Oregon goes 12-0, and then you say, oh, well, you know, that's great that you went 12-0, but you're facing the lower seeds, which, granted, you're facing the lower seeds – that probably mean, like, if Alabama played Coastal Carolina this year, probably would have blew them out. Like, let's just be honest, probably wouldn't have been a very close game. But at the same time, I mean, it allows them to get rest. It rewards them. It gives them a week off, allows them to recharge a little bit, even a little longer if they wait a month. But I definitely think the top four should get a bye because it gives them a break. But I think 16 is good. I mean, 16 is good because you're hitting the top five, the power five champion. You can have the power six champion. Or power six, they want to be called the P6, AAC. And then even if you wanted to, you could throw in, say, some at-large bids there. And then maybe the last three or four spots are conferences that have a little bit more weight to them due to strength of schedule and can be put in, and say their team did well. So a Memphis, who say they do well in the AAC, but they didn't get the championship, but they feel like the strength of schedule that year was good for Memphis. But Memphis fits one loss and ranked 12th in the country or 13th in the country. Well, then they had the opportunity to jump into those last four spots and get a seed in the top 16. So I think overall, I think it's good. It opens the door up to a lot of teams. And let's just be real honest, it hopefully allows some parity in the college football system. I mean, again, people are like, well, Alabama gets it all. It's all because of ESPN. I mean, there's some legitimate reasoning there, but at the same time, I mean, why would I not want to go to Alabama when they're in the college football playoff every single year? And so in saying that, I think if you have 16, it allows smaller schools or schools that aren't Alabama, aren't Clemson right now, aren't Ohio State, jump in there and do well with recruiting. Because again, if I could say, hey, like, yeah, we might not be in the top four, but I bet you we'll finish in the top 10 this year and we'll be in the playoffs. Well, why not? You're on ESPN, you're guaranteed a television game to where you're playing in front of potential scouts. And so I think 16 is good for the sport, good for parity, good for the fans. People saying too many games. I mean, we have like, what, 65, whatever bowl, 64, 68. I don't know. We have a ton of bowls. And I think what you could do there is say, well, what about the sponsorships? Well, take the 16 matchups, or I guess it's not the 16 matchups, but you take the matchups that lead up to national championship and you keep the semifinal and the championship, keep them, you know, maybe the quarterfinal, give them the four big names and then say, okay, like, what are our top bowls outside of that we can bring in and make them a part of the playoff bowls? And so, you know, that way you don't have the Texas Gasparilla Bowl or the Cheez-Its Bowl, you know, like, cool name, sure, whatever, who cares? But at the same time, like, yeah, still have those bowls, put them out there, but make the 16 teams playing bowls that are well-named, that people know of, and are included in that playoff system with the Citrus Bowl or something, the Peach Bowl, you know, like bowls that maybe don't mean much now, but 10 years ago, 15 years ago, they actually meant something to the teams playing in them. You want to bring that back. So I know it was a little elongated, but that's my opinion on the expansion if possible.
Well, and here's the thing too, Brad. You know, I'm thinking about it while you were giving a really good explanation there of why 16 would be possible. I guess really math-wise, I don't know. Could the top four really have a bye? I mean, because then you're going to have – you'd have six teams left, and so that'd be 10. You know what I'm saying? So, really, the top four would have to play, right? So, unless you gave the top four a bye and then you gave the top two after that another bye, because, you know, usually from the time that they play their conference championship game, it's what, 2 or 3 weeks before they play in the playoff anyways. Mm-hmm. So you could technically give the top four a bye. And then in the next round with the six, you would have, well, no, that would still be that would still be six. I don't know. That's an interesting thing. So I guess the top four would still have to play, which would be interesting. But then, you know, how many blowouts are you going to have? You know, are you going to have a lot of blowouts? Are you know what I'm saying? Like, I know we're trying to do math on air. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, I think if you do it, so you talked about six, so like 12, if you do the top four at buys, what you could do is you could do 12, so you'd have, what, 12 teams after that, if I'm not mistaken?
Yeah, 12 yeah, you'd have 10. If you've done the top four teams, and then you'd have 10 teams after that.
That's right. We're talking about the top 16, right? Or even in top four?
Well, yeah, but I'm saying, like, if you gave the top four a bye, and then – so that means that the other 12 are playing. Mm-hmm. You got six of them win, then you got 10 teams.
Yeah. I mean, you could give
the top six a bye.
You could, yeah. You could do top – you can get the top four a bye, do six.
Well, no, because that'd be 11.
Yeah. I mean, you could do it to where, like, top four is a bye, you have six matchups, and you have three – and then you had three winners out of that, right? So you take you give the lowest seed of the playoffs the lowest seed left, if that makes sense. And so, like, your top – whoever number four is would have to play into that game. I don't know. But now I'm thinking about it. Then you had three teams. I don't know. Well, we're not – there's a reason why we're not –
I think none of them would get a bye week. I think none of them would just – none of them would get a bye week.
Yeah,
which
I had to do, but
you know, I mean, granted, I guess you could get a bye week. I mean, if you got an Alabama facing off against like a team, a non-power five school that just, you know, ran through their conference because it's tiny. I mean, but I don't know. I mean, it's interesting, Brad. It really is. So I think that you would, 16 teams would be interesting, but I don't know, Brad. I think it'd be too much, but it might make it pretty interesting though, because let's say you got college football games. You got four on Friday and four on Saturday. I don't know, Brad. I mean, that seems like a moneymaker to me. Don't you think so?
Yeah, I mean, they're an NCAA is all about making money, so.
Well, they sure are. They just aren't all about their players making money. But either way, it is what it is. All right, Brad. That is our two topics for the week. So now it is time for the 2021 NFL mock draft presented by Golden Point Sports Podcast. Brad, without further ado, you and I are going to go through here and we're going to mock. Brad has the odd numbers. I'm sorry. Brad has the even numbers. I have the odd numbers. And starting off with a bang already. Either way, Brad, there can be trades. I think there's a few in here. There can be trades. There can be some upset type of picks. We're going to try to be as realistic as possible, though, folks, because it's one of those things to where it's, you know, we can be off the wall, sure, but, I mean, let's be realistic, really. And speaking of realistic, with the first pick in the 2021 NFL mock draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Trevor Lawrence, quarterback out of Clemson. Brad, this is an obvious choice. He's been deemed a generational talent, and the Jags could really turn their franchise around if that turns out to be true. If not, I mean, his career and his talent could be wasted, but the Jags, you know, having Trevor Lawrence as a cornerstone piece, I think that's a pretty good, start to their rebuild, Brad.
Yeah. With the second pick, the New York Jets select Zach Wilson, quarterback out of BYU. And so this is the thing with Zach Wilson. I'm a little nervous here with picking him here, only because, again, he played with BYU in the Mountain West Conference, and the biggest competition he had was Coastal Carolina, which they lost. He also wasn't pressured a whole lot. In fact, his turnover ratio is very low, 1.2. Looks great on paper, but again, wasn't pressured a whole lot in the conference he played in. But I do think that he has a great arm. I do think he's consistent, and he kind of reminds me a lot of Baker Mayfield. I think he's going to be able to be a guy who, you know, Saylor gives him the play, and he makes fireworks out of Mintz Lungens, you know. And so I think Zach Wilson has the energy, has the power to get out of the pocket, make some plays, and this could be one of their best picks in a long time. You know, Chad Pennington, what there was hope there with the Jets at one point, and injuries plagued him. So hopefully Zach Wilson will stay healthy with that defense behind him. He could realistically turn his first year into a game manager and improve the Jets really well.
With the third pick in the 2021 NFL mock draft, the San Francisco 49ers select Trey Lance, quarterback, North Dakota State. I think that the idea here, Brad, is Trey Lance or Mac Jones. That's what all the reports are saying. It's Trey Lance or Mac Jones. When I look at this, I give Trey Lance to the San Francisco 49ers because I believe that he fits the Kyle Shanahan mode and the Kyle Shanahan offense better than a game manager type of player like a Mac Jones does. Now, I think that this would be a good pick by the 49ers because I think that he can develop even behind Jimmy G. I don't really expect Jimmy G I expect Jimmy G to lose his job in the season if he even makes it to the season as a 49er. We could definitely see him traded on draft night for sure. But Lance, I think he's got a strong arm, and he honestly reminds me of Josh Allen. Josh Allen, the Kyle Shanahan offense would be pretty awesome, Brad.
Yeah, with the fourth pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Kyle Pitts, tight end from the University of Florida. I think Kyle Pitts will be good here. Look, I mean, they may go for a replacement here in Josh Fields if he's still available. Now, according to our mock draft, he is. So that could be a possibility. But I think they go for the best player on the board. Julio Jones has been hurt lately. Calvin Ridley hurt lately. They need a consistent offensive weapon there in the offense for Matt Ryan and company. I think he takes them to the next level. You can see him turn into a Travis Kelce, and that's exactly what Matt Ryan needs to get his confidence back up. They take Kyle Pitts with the fourth pick.
With the fifth pick in the 2021 NFL mock draft, the Cincinnati Bengals select Penei Sewell, tackle, out of Oregon. Brad, I think that this would be the right choice by the Bengals. I know that they kind of shored up their offensive line this offseason, but honestly, they need more help than what they've gotten. And, you know, you took Joe Burrow last year at number one, and then he got hurt behind a horrible offensive line. Look, you've got to keep Joe Burrow healthy or you're not going to get anywhere. I know that there's a little bit of rumors about like Jamar Chase, you know, going there, you know, and while that's not a bad choice, I think you've got to have a cornerstone piece to that offensive line to help protect Joe Burrow. You know, maybe he can make that wide receiver core better if he's able to stay healthy and can stay upright.
Yeah. With the sixth pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Miami Dolphins pick Jalen Waddle, wide receiver from Bama. All right, so you might be thinking, why not Jamar Chase and why Jalen Waddle? I think really here it's just chemistry. I think it all boils down to the Dolphins are thinking we need a receiver. Yeah, we have Devontae Parker, but that's if he's healthy. We don't really have anybody behind him. So even though Jamar Chase is a really good weapon to have on offense, Tua already has chemistry with Jalen Waddle. So I think they go with Waddle here. He's explosive. He could also be a return man for them if they need to. But I think bringing on Jalen Waddle upgrades their offense tremendously alongside their tight end, Mike Gesicki. I think it takes some pressure off of him and some Devontae Parker. And they now have another receiver who can either be a true two or could realistically sneak into that true one role if Devontae Parker stays injured and stays on the IR.
With the seventh pick of the 2021 NFL mock draft, the Detroit Lions select Jamar Chase, wide receiver out of LSU. Brad, the Lions don't have any wide receivers on their roster that can be considered number one guys, or maybe not even to number two guys, really. Jamar Chase, he could come in and be a game changer for them from day one. Now, of course, they still need a lot more than just him, so it's not going to turn the team around. But Jared Goff, in his new role as the Lions quarterback, will definitely get a great boost and a great weapon in Jamar Chase.
With the 8th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Carolina Panthers pick Rashawn Slater, tackle out of Northwestern. Now, Slater, by many, probably considered a top tackle, even though Sewell did well. Sewell's already off the board. I think the Carolina Panthers are struggling in the offensive line category, especially with Little is the only one they re-signed from last year who's worthy of being re-signed. And so I think they had to get some they have to get protection going for Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold has the weapons to be successful, but he needs a strong offensive line. This also brings confidence back to CMC, who got injured because of the bad offensive line last year. I think they bring in Rashawn Slater. He's versatile. They move around the line until he really fills in a solid role there somewhere along the line. But I think he's a day one starter for the Carolina Panthers.
With the 9th pick in the 2021 NFL mock draft, the Denver Broncos select Patrick Surtain in the 2nd, cornerback out of Alabama. You know, the Broncos, they've always had a pretty stout defense. You know, pair Surtain with Kyle Fuller and their defense will once again be very good. And honestly, you may not have to worry about Drew Locke and the offense as much. As some people probably thought, well, listen, Justin Fields falls to this spot. Why wouldn't they take him? I really do believe that they think that they see something in Drew Locke. I know I've always been a Drew Locke hater, but, you know, if you got a guy like Patrick Surtain, a guy who is a shutdown type corner, you know, I think you can take him here and feel fine. Don't be surprised if the Broncos grab a quarterback later in the draft, though.
All right, we have a trade alert. All right, with the 10th pick in NFL draft, the Chicago Bears and the Dallas Cowboys switch spots here. They switch the spot. And Dallas Cowboys gives up a couple of picks. We won't have to go into detail about that. But the Chicago Bears move up to number 10 in the draft spot, and they would pick Mac Jones, quarterback from Alabama. Now, that might be surprising. He goes above Justin Fields. But Mac Jones led the FBC in on-target throw rates last season. He did well. Granted, he did have, you know, a lot of offensive weapons who were going in the first round. He had them on his team. But I think he's a great quarterback to throw in there. But the Chicago Bears haven't had a good quarterback since, listen, they made it to the Super Bowl this year with Rex Grossman. Anybody else remember Rex Grossman? No, I didn't think so. Okay. So, in saying that, I think Mac Jones comes in. This is an opportunity for him to be a franchise quarterback for Matt Nagy and his offense in Chicago. So, they pick Mac Jones up here at the 10th pick in the draft.
With the 11th pick in the 2021 NFL mock draft, the New York Giants select Micah Parsons, linebacker out of Penn State. He's a versatile playmaker, Brad, on a defense. Then he will be a versatile playmaker on a defense that can on defense, and he can fill just about whatever role is asked of him in the front seven. He'll be considered the face of that defense and leader before the year is even up, Brad. I truly do. I believe that Micah Parsons will be a great fit in New York. And hey, he's got a couple of other Penn State guys over there too. So before too long, we might be calling the New York Giants the Penn State Nittany Lions of the NFL.
All right, with the 12th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Philadelphia Eagles pick J.C. Horn, cornerback out of South Carolina. Look, I think J.C. Horn's physical. Yes, he's a late bloomer in regards to not really being noticed until the pro day, until the pre-draft workouts. He's good. He's very physical. He boasts a 91st percentile athleticism score, and he's being compared to Marshawn Lattimore and Aqib Talib. So, and another thing is they pair him up with Janoris Jenkins, which the last time Janoris Jenkins had someone team up with him and do well in the defense was Marshawn Lattimore. So, getting a Marshawn Lattimore type cornerback in J.C. Horn, I think will do well for the Philadelphia Eagles corners. And they could probably pick anybody up, and it looks like a good draft pick for them. But I think they start off building up their defense with J.C. Horn.
We have another trade here. The L.A. Chargers have traded their pick to the Washington football team. And with the 13th pick of the 2021 NFL mock draft, the Washington football team has selected Justin Fields, quarterback out of Ohio State. Fields fell here. He fell quite a bit of ways, but two picks later, and I think he could have won. So I think the Washington football team traded up here and got their guy. Look, Washington's thinking, let's try this again, and let's try and see if – and they're trying and they're hoping that this Ohio State quarterback is the answer for the future of their franchise. Look, Fields has all the tools, you know, but the question is, can he put it together in the NFL?
Yeah, the 14th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Minnesota Vikings pick Christian Darrisaw, tackle out of Virginia Tech. Look, Minnesota Vikings, I know if you listen to our postseason reviews of each team, you know, I brought up the Vikings needed a pass rush. But let's just be honest, the 2021 NFL draft isn't heavy on defense. And I think here they're heavy on offensive line. So why not get a solid offensive lineman? I mean, Darrisaw rivals Sewell and Rashawn Slater as the top tackle in the draft, and they're actually comparing him to Jason Peters and Ryan Ramczyk, which are two guys that are not bad comparisons at all. So why not move a guy who's probably pretty versatile, but will sit there as left guard for you or left tackle, and can protect Kirk Cousins? He's the sixth most sacked quarterback in the NFL last season. Let's fix that. He's a good quarterback. He gets a lot of crap. But with an offensive line in front of him that can protect him, I think he'll do better. The Minnesota Vikings are looking out for their quarterback.
With the 15th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, NFL mock draft, that is, the New England Patriots select Jamin Davis, linebacker out of the University of Kentucky. You know, Bill Belichick, he rolled the dice, and he did not trade up. And so he does not get his new quarterback for the offense, but he may have found his new quarterback of the defense. Some may call this a reach, but I think that Davis will be a quality starter for years to come. And honestly, to me, this screams a Bill Belichick type of pick.
The 16th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Arizona Cardinals picked Devontae Smith, wide receiver out of Alabama. Look, you might be surprised that we didn't put Devontae Smith up higher. I think his size has a lot to do with it, which, granted, yes, all his accolades could back up people's doubt in his size. I mean, Heisman winner, Burkhoff winner. I mean, he earned just about any reward possible last year with Alabama. I think that he does well here. Arizona Cardinals, you might think, well, do they not need an offensive line to help Kyler Murray? Again, we just talked about this my last pick. Offensive line is deep in NFL draft, and you're like, well, yeah, but you had the Vikings pick an offensive lineman because that's what they needed the most. I think here the Cardinals with Larry Fitzgerald, this is his last year. You know, there's not really a true number one that the Cardinals have. I mean, you could throw out a couple of different players, but I think Devontae Smith is a good, fast receiver that fits perfect in Kyler Murray's kind of offense.
With the 17th pick of the 2021 NFL draft, NFL mock draft, the Las Vegas Raiders select Greg Newsom II, cornerback, Northwestern. You know, the Raiders, they need a lot of help on defense. And Newsom, he's going to come in to he's going to come in and looking to fill the role of the number one cornerback. And I think that he has the ability to. I think that he, to me, I think he's a little overrated, but if I'm being honest with you, those guys that seem overrated are usually kind of go to the Raiders and John Gruden, really. I mean, look at Henry Ruggs last year. You know, not trying to throw too much shade at the Raiders, but you know what? It is that way. The Raiders have never been been known to pick first round picks well. And so I don't know. Is this a good pick for them? I mean, look, we hope so. I never want to see a pick not work out, but I wanted to go with a pick here that was kind of going to fit the mold of what the Raiders usually look for, but they definitely need a cornerback here, and I think Gregory Newsom, I think he's going to be able to fill that role for them, and hopefully he will. We'll see how it works out.
The 18th pick in the 2021 NFL draft for Miami Dolphins is Najee Harris, running back out of Alabama. Look, this is the third Alabama offensive player to go. Actually fourth if you count Mac Jones in the first round. That's huge for Alabama because they're not known for offense. But let's hear it. Najee Harris used to be a teammate of Tua at Alabama. Now, yes, they did have – I should remember his name because he was on my fantasy team last year and he did really well. but they had a breakout star running back last year, and I'm struggling to figure out who the Miami Dolphins running back was. But regardless, they're bringing Najee Harris. Let him compete with who they have in the backfield. And again, he's explosive. So not only can he catch, not only can he run, he can do everything in between, and he stays healthy. That's another thing where the running back they have now, he's on my fantasy team and he did well, but he's also injured at the end of the year. And so Najee Harris goes number 18 in Miami Dolphins and boosts again another offensive weapon for Tua in the Dolphins system.
The Miami Crimson Tide. Anyways, with the 19th pick of the 2021 NFL draft, the Los Angeles Chargers select Elijah Vera Tucker, guard out of USC. Sorry about that. I had a little issue with the name there. I got another guy coming up too. I'm a little afraid, but anyways. The Chargers, they have seemed to always have had offensive line issues, Brad. And look, Vera Tucker, he's going to come in. He's going to look to come in to fix that, as he can really just fit about just anywhere on that offensive line. Well, honestly, the Chargers probably need him to fit just about anywhere on that offensive line. They probably need two or three of them, really. But still, he's coming from USC, so it's not like he's going to have to travel too far. He might actually be able to just take a road trip in his own vehicle up to the Chargers facility. I don't know what he drives, but you've always heard some of those old stories about some guys, they drive their college vehicle up there, and then about a month later, they're up there in a new Benz or something. But either way, Elijah Vera Tucker to the Los Angeles Chargers. Hey, that helps Justin Herbert out as well if he can get a better offensive line.
Yeah, with the 20th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Dallas Cowboys pick Caleb Farley, cornerback out of Virginia Tech. Look, I know they had a chance to get J.C. Horn earlier. They could have moved up and traded with the Eagles. They could have traded up. They might trade up in the actual draft to get J.C. Horn. That's the kind of corner they want. They have committed the least amount of money in the NFL to cornerbacks. They need help very badly in that department. But Caleb Farley would have went higher. He would have been the top defensive cornerback if not for his back injury. That has scared a lot of people. But when he did play, he allowed just 18 receptions on 50 targets. And he also only gave up a 26.8 passer rating against the poor quarterbacks who tested him in coverage. So in saying that, this guy is good, but there's a lot of injuries concerns, and I think that's going to be the issue here and why he's fallen as far as he has. But I think Dallas Cowboys scoop up the last real solid cornerback. I forgot Greg Newsom, the second one, too. He's going to be good. But I think they swipe up Caleb Farley before he drops too much further in the draft.
With the 21st pick of the 2021 NFL mock draft, the Indianapolis Colts select Azeez Ojulari. Ojulari, there we go. Edge, Georgia. Ojulari, he really failed. Kind of expecting him to go to the Cardinals, really. But I'm not really surprised. But either way, he failed, and maybe it's not really ideal for himself. But the Colts are not a bad place to go, that's for sure. And I think the Colts, they stay put and they take him here. But the thing is, the Colts are really known for trading down, so especially in the first round. So we'll see if they actually do that. But we do not have them trading down here. I think he'll pair well with Darius Leonard and Buckner on a very good Colts defense.
With the 22 pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Tennessee Titans pick Terrence Marshall Jr., wide receiver out of LSU. Look, Terrence Marshall, he didn't get that privilege to play with Joe Burrow. So unlike Ja'Marr Chase, who got to play with Joe Burrow and people got to see his speed, he played with a mock-up offense, if you would say that. Really his big stats have come in the pro day, and he has great speed. He's great deep ball opportunity. Look, the Titans lose Corey Davis. A.J. Brown, you could claim, could be the deep ball threat for Tennessee Titans, but with them leaning heavy on Derrick Henry and the tight ends, having somebody who can shoot down the field like Terrence Marshall Jr. would be good for them. And, I will say, too, if you look at him, he's allowed a passer rating of 150-plus. And this is to the LSU quarterbacks last year. You probably couldn't even name one person who was an LSU quarterback last year. He was posting a 150-plus passer rating for them when they targeted more than 10 yards down the field. And so I think he's a good pickup here. A lot of people might think he's a reach. Some people, I won't say any names, might want Elijah Moore here from Ole Miss, but I think Terrence Marshall Jr. is a good fit for the Titans offense.
Yeah, some people. with the 23rd pick of the 2021 NFL mock draft, the New York Jets select Tevin Jenkins, tackle out of Oklahoma State. The Jets, they just selected the quarterback of the future in Zach Wilson, so they now select their tackle that will protect him. Honestly, hey, not too bad of a combo in the first round, if I do say so myself. That's like a number five. You know, that's like a number one Big Mac combo from McDonald's over here. I mean, that's a pretty good combo. I like it. All right. But anyways, I think things are starting to work out well for the Green Gang so far in this NFL mock draft.
I'm going to say so. I know we're not supposed to break it up. I think the Jets, based off our mock draft or any other mock draft, they're looking pretty good. So if I'm a New York Jets fan, I have some hope for the future. But with the 24th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Pittsburgh Steelers pick Creed Humphrey, center out of Oklahoma. So this is the thing. That's a kind of a weird pick. You don't see him a whole lot. You know, there's probably a little bit more digging that goes around for Creed Humphrey. You see him in a few mock drafts maybe. He did really well for Oklahoma last year. He's a solid center. He's healthy. And it's the thing. The Steelers just lost Marquise Pouncey, who's been their center for 11 years. And so the Steelers are hungry to kind of shore up that offensive line here. And I think that's going to start here with the center, and that's why they picked up Creed Humphrey from Oklahoma.
With the 25th pick of the 2021 NFL mock draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Christian Marmore, defensive tackle, Alabama. Look, the Jags, they got himself a run stuffer and a pass rush helper in Barmore. You know, when you got guys like a Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor, even a Deshaun Watson, Ryan Tannehill, I mean, I don't know if you can count Carson Wentz, but either way, a guy like Barmore, he's going to be called upon a lot. To rush the passer as well as slow down Derrick Henry and Jonathan Taylor. Well, we'll see what happens. But, hey, you know what? He now, instead of having to chase after Trevor Lawrence in the college football playoffs, he now gets to play with him and be teammates with him.
And with the 26th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Cleveland Browns pick Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoa, linebacker at Notre Dame. Look, I'm going to call him JOK just for short. He's really good. Comps include KJ Wright. He's done pretty well for the 49ers. Navarro Bowman, pretty good for the 49ers. Patrick Willis, pretty good for the 49ers. Do you see a trend here now? You think, well, the 49ers should be drafting him, right? Well, they probably should, because they've had some good names compared with JOK. But the Cleveland Browns need linebackers. They lost Jamie Collins last year, and you could tell as they played defense that was one of their weak spots. And so I think bringing an edge guy in that could play either right up on the line, like a TJ Watt, or back there in the linebacker position is good, and he's really good in coverage. And so I think playing in AFC North, and I'm not saying that just because I'm a Steelers fan, defense matters. Usually AFC North is a defensive-minded division, and with the Bengals, the Ravens, and the Steelers potentially getting better, you need to back up your defense there. And I think they were just a smidge away from beating Kansas City last year, and I think I think bringing in JOK elevates them to another level. And not saying they could beat KC in the playoffs, but I think they would be well going into the season with another good linebacker to put on their team.
With the 27th pick in the 2021 NFL mock draft, the Baltimore Ravens select Rashad Bateman, wide receiver, Minnesota. He kind of fell a little bit here, but either way, Lamar Jackson, he gets himself a guy who could be a true number one wide receiver for him. Now, the question, of course, is whether or not the Ravens will get him enough targets to justify picking another wide receiver in the first round. There's a whole lot of wide receiver talent out there. And, I mean, was this the Ravens' biggest need? Possibly, but they go wide receiver here, and due to the fact that they traded his name is beside me, Orlando Brown, that they traded Orlando Brown to the Kansas City Chiefs, they will have another pick at the 31st pick, so we'll see what they do there. But here at the 27th pick, they take a wide receiver in Rashad Bateman, and look, again, he could become the number one guy for Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, with the 28th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the New Orleans Saints picked Zaven Collins, linebacker out of Tulsa. Look, Collins, if you look even back at his college, his high school career, he was the quarterback of the team. Crazy, right? Well, that probably explains why he did so well on defense for Tulsa. Look, he has potential, some injuries there his first season or two with Tulsa. But last year, he stuffed the sheet with 53 tackles, a team high of 11 for loss, 4 sacks, 4 interceptions, 2 pass breakups, a block kick. And he only played in 8 starts. And then also on return, like also thinking about that, in his 2 picks, in 2 of the 4 picks, he had touchdowns, including a 96-yard game winner against Tulane in overtime. Look, Collins didn't play in the bowl game, but I think in the 8 games alone, there's plenty of stats that solidify why the New Orleans Saints need a linebacker here. They lost a couple of their linebackers in the offseason, and I think they need a good freak athlete like Zaven Collins to come in and supercharge their defense to be better next year.
With the 29th pick in the 2021 NFL mock draft, the Green Bay Packers select Elijah Moore, wide receiver, Ole Miss. Yes, Brad, this was the guy who I wanted to take for the Titans, but that did not fall upon me picking. And so Brad, he took Terrace Marshall Jr. for the Titans. And look, I'm with that. Terrace Marshall Jr. will be a good pick for them. But either way, this is about Elijah Moore going to the Packers. The Aaron Rodgers, look, he finally gets some help to go along with Devontae Adams. I think that this pick should make Rodgers and Packer fans pretty happy. Unlike possibly last year's number one or first round pick. Either way, I think he's going to fit in nicely. He's going to play right away, especially in the slot, Brad. And I think he can be a playmaker for Aaron Rodgers and the Packers. And, if you're playing fantasy football, if he goes to the Packers, I think this is a guy that you should probably try to get as soon as you can.
Yeah. With the 30th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Buffalo Bills picked Jason Uwa, edge from Penn State. Look, I'm not giving this just because he's a Penn State guy, but the Buffalo Bills, they have a good defense, but their linebacker core tends to be back up. And you're saying, well, he's an edge rusher. Well, really, because he's so fast, you can probably play him as an outside linebacker as well. He had a freakish speed at a 40 at a 3.49. That's insane to hear from either a defensive end or a linebacker. And, before he sat out last season, he had a ridiculous amount of stats, and I'll read them to you in just a second because I have to see them to know them off the top of my head. He didn't record a sack this past year, but in 2019, as a redshirt freshman, he accumulated 5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, and 13 games. And so, in 2018, it says that he had 4 sacks and 2 – or no, sorry, 4 tackles and 2 sacks. But his redshirt freshman year, he did really good. But this is another thing, too. Jason Uwa only started playing football his junior year of high school. So I just want to throw in a snippet. It's had nothing to do with the draft. But if you're sitting there thinking, well, when can I start something new in my life? I'm too old or it's too late. Just do it. I mean, Jason Uwa could have just said, hey, I don't need football in my life. I'm a junior. I haven't played. I'm 17 years old. But he goes and he plays, and now he's, potentially being drafted in the first, if not the second at the latest, around the NFL draft. He's a tackle machine. He reminds me a lot of Luke Kuechly, and I think that he could be a good pickup for the Buffalo Bills, who sees a lot of injuries in their linebacker core during every season.
With the 31st pick of the 2021 NFL mock draft, the Baltimore Ravens select Gregory Rousseau, edge out of Miami. Rousseau, look, he should be able to help fill the void of losing Matthew Judon and Yannick Ngakoue. But, obviously they still need some more help alongside him. Look, I feel like I've gotten all the hard names in this one, except for the one. Anyways. I think Rousseau, he set out this last year with Miami, but he's a guy who was very productive for Miami as well, he should be a very productive guy for the Baltimore Ravens. Now, is he a guy who is going to come in again and be a difference maker or even be as good as Judon or Yannick was? Probably not the first or second year, but I think long-term, I think that he will work out just fine for the Ravens. And either way, Gregory Rousseau to the Baltimore Ravens.
Yeah, and with the 32nd and final pick in the 2021 Golden Point Sports NFL mock draft, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers pick Quiddy Pay, edge from Michigan. Look, you might be like, well, why'd you pick him? Well, I think he falls a little bit just because I think there's a lot of questions about him. He decreased in his production last year. You know, his 2 years ago, Pay as a junior had 50 tackles, 12 for loss, 6.5 sacks in 12 games, 11 starts. Pay was named team captain 2020, but didn't do as well. Only 16 tackles, 4 for loss, lost 2 sacks. He missed 2 games due to injury. And so I think there's some questions there with how he's going to do for a team. I think with Tampa Bay, look, you don't need somebody who's going to go in and be a starter right off the bat, but they're about to lose a lot of their defensive ends and linebackers free agency potentially next year. And so this could be a guy you get in who serves behind a Jason Pierre-Paul or somebody like that, or Ndamukong Suh, and learns to perfect his craft before he gets a chance to start in NFL. And so, yes, the Tampa Bay Bucks with Quiddy Payne. And just a quick little note, he has a really cool story behind him. I say cool, it's not initially cool for him maybe, but Pay's mother, Agnes, fled Liberia due to a civil war and then gave birth to Quiddy in Guinea before coming to the United States. So interesting family background. I'm sure they'll highlight that in the draft. But yes, with the 32nd final pick in the first round of the 2021 NFL draft, Quiddy Payne goes.
Very nice. Very nice. A round of applause for the first round. All right, Brad, let's go to the second round, shall we? I'm kidding. It took us a while just to try and guess on these 32 picks, let alone the next, 100 and or 200 and I don't know, 24 or so picks, or I think it's what, a whole lot of picks, Brad. And we just did the first round. All right, folks, I want you all, whenever you're, after you listen to this podcast, I want you to either message us, comment, text us, whatever it is. I want you to tell us how many you think we've gotten right, because I want to know, you know, or how many think we will get right. It's not fair to us if you text us, you know, on Friday morning and say, you only got one right, and that was Trevor Lawrence. I mean, that's kind of messed up. But either way, Brad, honestly, though, I'm going to ask you, too, like, how many of these do you think we got right?
I'm going to go, I think last year, I'm trying to think on my head, like, how many we got right last year. I remember going through it. I think I had, and not, like, right, but they actually won the first round. I think I had, like, 12, and you had, like, 9 or 10. So, what's that put us at, like, 2021 out of the – well, that doesn't count doubles either. I'm going to shoot a little low just because there's a lot of questions coming into this draft because of COVID, shortened seasons, those who opted out. I'm going to say we get 9 right.
Okay. I'm going to go over that. I think we can get 10 right here, Brad. I think we can get 10. Let's do this. Are we talking about how many we get right, like team and everything, or how many players we get right going in the first round? Because if how many players we get right going in the first round, I think we're at probably like 20 plus. I think we can go. I would feel comfortable going with. I feel comfortable going with at least 24.
That's high. That's really high.
It is, but I mean, you don't think 24 of these 32 guys could go in the first round?
I think they could. I'll agree with you. I'll say 24. I think we did pretty well vetting the guys. I mean, we're not GMs or scouts, but I think based off of our research and whatnot, I think we get 24 out of that.
All right. So you're saying 9 is right on the money, like who picks who and whatnot like that, right?
I mean, yeah, unless the Jets throw us a curveball, I think we get at least 2 right. So I think 9's okay.
Well, 2 for sure. Okay, all right, I'll go with 9. Instead of 10, I'll go with 9. So we think we can get 9 exactly right, and we got 24 right on who goes into the first round. I mean, look, I think we'll be right on Trevor Lawrence, be right on Zach Wilson. I think that the Bengals should be right at Penny Sewell, but honestly, I could probably see Ja'Marr Chase going there. You know, I mean, the third pick with Trey Lance, I think it's possible. Kyle Pitts, I think, honestly, if the Falcons don't move, I don't see why Kyle Pitts wouldn't be the pick there unless they wanted to go maybe offensive line. But I personally would go with – I personally would take Kyle Pitts. I mean, he's supposed to be a generational talent, right? Mm-hmm. Jalen Waddle to the Dolphins sounds right, Brad. I mean, Najee Harris to the Dolphins sounds good. I mean, I don't know. I think the two trades that we had, we both had one apiece, and I think – I don't know. I mean, Elijah Vera Tucker seems right that he'd go to the Chargers, but is he going to be there at 19 is the only question, right? So, but either way, Brad, yeah, I mean, Rashawn Slater to the Panthers. I mean, I don't know. Look, yeah. So I think that we get 9 exactly right. Player going to the right team or the exact team. And then I think that we can get 24 correctly going in the first round. So if I got 9 last year and you got like 12, then that's what, 21, right? So, I mean, 24, let's see if we can improve, right? Maybe next year we can get all 32. Who knows? I doubt that, though. But who knows?
I don't even think Mike Kuyper and them gets 32, you know? So,
yeah. I never really look at how many – they put out so many mock drafts, Brad. Do you go with their last one? You know what I'm saying? Is that the one that you go off of? Because how many do they actually get right? I mean, honestly. But, if we were to get all 32 right, ESPN should be calling us, you know, Fox Sports should be calling us. I mean, that's all I'm saying. So either way, Brad, let's go with the golden point of faith.
Yeah. So, for the golden point of faith, I thought, I'm just trying to think through different things in the draft. This is the thing when you go to the draft, like, yeah, I thought, well, maybe we could do something on spiritual warfare because, you know, the war room. And, you know, you're trying to figure out who to pick from. And, you know, now I just thought off the top of my head, I probably should have done that. It actually sounds pretty good. But I'm actually going to go off of, you know, we talk about 5 quarterbacks maybe going in the first round. We talk about players like Kyle Pitts who can make a huge difference in an offensive system. And a lot of times, you know, especially if you don't know Jesus and you watch football and you're a huge fan, you might say, well, us drafting Trevor Lawrence, he's the savior of the Jacksonville Jaguars, or maybe Zach Wilson's, you know, the new savior of the Jets, the go gang scream, we got our savior. Or, you know, we put a lot of stock into these players that are drafted, and at the end of the day, we don't do any of that. Like, we sit there and watch TV, and but we give these terms to players, like, hey, you're going to be the savior of this franchise. LeBron James is going to be the savior of the Cleveland Cavaliers. You know, Steph Curry, the savior of the Golden State Warriors. And so we throw these names out there, but honestly, especially if you're a Christian, there's only one savior, and that's Jesus Christ. And, you know, when we think of saviors in sports worlds, we think of saviors. What is a savior? Someone who saves a franchise, someone who takes them to new heights, someone that transforms the culture and the winning of a team. And just like that, like, as a savior in Jesus Christ, we have someone who's going to come in, they're going to change your life, they're going to change the culture of how we think, how we do things, how we respond to people. They're going to take us to new heights. You know, Jesus is going to take us to new heights. We're going to go to places. Now, I'm not saying you're going to be able to fly or anything like that, but I think, you know, as a believer, I've been able to, you know, do things I would never thought I would have done before. And so, I want to leave you with this verse. You know, I want to tell you that Jesus is the savior. He's not just a temporary savior. You know, these saviors, like, either don't live up to the term because it's too much pressure, or they're temporary. You know, you could say, well, Peyton Manning is the savior of the Colts. It wasn't until he retired, or actually until he moved over to the Denver Broncos. So in saying that, these saviors are temporary, but Jesus Christ is the permanent savior. And this is the thing, like, God created Adam and Eve, right? And they were perfect. They didn't need a savior. They were perfect. They had a great relationship with God. You know, then Adam and Eve eats the apple, sin comes in the world, it breaks that relationship with us and God. And so, you know, but now we need a savior. We need something to save us. And there was that temporary fix, like a temporary savior of a football team or a hockey team or a basketball team, a baseball team, of being able to fix it temporarily with sacrifices, with taking an animal to the altar and sacrificing it. But then God's like, you know what? This is just temporary. This is not a permanent fix. So he said, you know what? I'm going to give myself in the form of a human and as Jesus Christ, as my son, and I'm going to die for the sins of everybody on this earth. And so that's what happened. Jesus came down, lived the perfect life, only person to ever do that. He died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again 3 days later, and now he lives in heaven. And because of that, we have the opportunity to hear the gospel and respond and believe in Jesus Christ and have that Savior, have somebody who's going to – now is life going to be all butterflies and rainbows after you accept Jesus? No. And I think both Rob and I could both sit here and attest to that, that it's not all rainbows and butterflies once you're a follower of Jesus Christ. But at the same time, Jesus makes things better. He gives you a better perspective on things. He leads you through things. He's someone who's never going to go away. He's always here for you. And so, and saying that, as you think about the NFL draft, I hope you enjoy it. I hope you have fun. Me and Rob are both looking forward to it. I'm more of just a first round guy, and I'll keep up with the second through the seventh, maybe on my phone from time to time, really the Steelers. But at the same time, just remember that the draft is temporary. And at the end of the day, we sit here and talk sports all day long, but it's about the fact that Jesus is the Savior. He's the only one that can, with us believing in him, is the only way we can get eternal life and be right, made right with God again. And so if that's something you need to talk about, like I say all the time, text us, message us, comment on it for us. But I hope that speaks to somebody this today. And I'm going to give you a Bible verse, because obviously what's the point of doing a golden point fifth without scripture? And so Ephesians 1:7 says, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. So let me say that again. In him we have redemption. So we have an opportunity to be saved. And that was through his blood, through him dying on the cross for our sins. And then in that he forgave our sins. So sins, anything we say, think, or do that breaks God's heart, anything that goes against scripture, anything against God's will. And in accordance with that, it's the riches of God's grace. So over and over again, God's going to send his grace and his mercy to us. Even when we mess up, even though we sit here and say we are a follower of Jesus, we mess up and we can go to him and say, Lord, I mess up. I need you to forgive me again. I need you to get me back on track and live for you. So I hope that speaks something to you, and I hope you enjoyed our 2021 NFL mock draft.
Amen, Brad. Amen.
Welcome to Golden Point Sports Podcast. You can find us on Apple, YouTube, Spotify, Anchor, and more. We hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Let us know what you thought in your comments, and go rate us and give us reviews on any other podcast site you listen to. Again, thank you for joining us, and we hope you enjoyed this week's episode.